Hey everybody, welcome again to the Tradescast. It's a podcast dedicated to everything in the world of entertainment for your enjoyment. My name's Jeff Fahab.
And I'm Tom Moss, and this is the Tradescast for the week of January 24th. Hey Jeff.
Hey, we're in a post-Oscar nomination world, Tom.
We are. How's it feel? Do you feel a lot different?
No, I guess, sadly, as a white person, I don't feel any different. so it's just going to be what it's going to be. Everyone's talking about this issue. Let's talk about it from an entertainment business point of view, but let's also talk about it from a social point of view. There are a few elements here. The first is the nominations come out, another set of nominations without people of color. I'm going to say people of color because people keep saying that there were no African Americans. And that the people who are currently boycotting, the high profile people who are boycotting, Spike Lee and his wife, Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, these are people who are black and have said, where are the nominations? And, I totally get this and I get the boycott. But I have a few questions. First of all, what do you do to change it? Does it make a difference on the ratings? And where are the people who would classify themselves as Latino? Where are they and why are they not nominated for any? Because we're looking at two populations in America that are very similar in size. So where is the other outrage?
Yeah, that's all good questions. I think this is an example of classic institutional racism. I mean, the problem, as I understand it, is that the Academy voters are predominantly white. And so they I think any one of them, I think you'd be hard pressed to find an out and out, you know, card carrying racist among them. And yet the way that they vote and the way that they think is inclined to look at themes and topics and actors that they're familiar with and comfortable with and recognize as maybe closer to their own experiences. And I think that is what leads to this problem. And it's definitely a problem. The Academy is taking steps to fix it. They're going to expand their membership and seek more people of color in that membership. But this year, I think it's the timing of this year with the Black Lives Matter movement and so much thinking going into this. Anyway,
well, Tom, what would it have taken for there not to be a boycott? Let's say Will Smith, who got a Golden Globe nomination, the performance. Some people don't love the accent and everything, but everybody thinks Will Smith, I think, pretty much thinks is a good actor. What if he had gotten nominated? Only one. Let's just say it was just him. Is there no boycott? Is there? Well, Will Smith got nominated. Is that enough? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. It's hard to know. I mean, maybe there would not. There probably would not have been a boycott. Would there have been some degree of outrage? Possibly. Would there still have been a problem? Absolutely. If there had been one movie that had an African American theme, this year's 12 Years a Slave or whatever that would have been, and had been nominated or even won the Oscar, would that have meant that there was no problem? Absolutely not. There is still a problem. And, those rare examples of African-American themed movies that do win and do well are exceptions that prove the rule, as near as I can tell, because they are I think you've talked about this before. I mean, they're the broad, I don't know how to describe it, but the movies that take on that issue. They aren't movies that happen to have African-Americans in them or happen to deal with contemporary African-American themes, typically.
So how I see the answer, though, to me seems very challenging. Does this mean that one out of every eight nominations should be a person who is black? One out of every eight nominations should be someone who is Latino? Do you actually need a number? Also, if you get invited to the Academy and you are a person of color, what's the burden on you now? Are you supposed to only nominate people? Are you supposed to say, well, Will Smith was good, but you know what? I don't think that accent – it was distracting to me, and I kind of really like Leonardo DiCaprio more, but I'm black, so I do you know what I mean? This is really challenging, and of course, I don't think this problem maybe ever goes away. We have prejudices, We have racism. These are real things.
Oh, without a doubt. And I don't think.
But worst of all, this is not like sports or something where there's a clear winner and a clear loser. This is art. You know what I mean? For better lack of, I mean, it's commerce, but it is art. So it's completely subjective. Well, so this is really challenging.
I mean, that is an excellent point. And it's sort of a ridiculous argument. It's not a ridiculous argument. It's ridiculous to be having this argument around something so superficial and subjective and ridiculous as award nominations. So
yeah, especially this award. This is not like, and I've said this all along, you may not like or like film critics or whatever, you know, but if the people doing the nominating were only critics, you know, every top critic in the world or in America or whatever you wanted to say, the nominations would not always look like they look now. Right. Do you know what I mean? It'd be a lot of smaller films and there would be more diversity. Right. But this is a group of people who, besides having sexism and racism and other kinds of issues, are not all that brilliant. They don't really, I would say, they really don't know good a lot of the time.
No, that's absolutely right. And so, you know, adding more younger members and more people of color to the mix, I mean, it cannot hurt. It won't convince me that the awards nominating process and awards in general, and you know where I stand on that, is just a sort of a ridiculous proposition to begin with. You know, a lot goes into, you know, one of the arguments about why there weren't, you know, more African-American white, why, Straight Outta Compton, for instance, wasn't nominated and Selma.
Of course, it was nominated for screenplay written by two white people.
There you go. Well, yeah, there you go. But the marketing campaigns were weak on these movies. They were weak with Selma, was it last year, right? And so, you know, it's just insane. But it can't hurt to have more people of color making these decisions. I think in the long run, it will help. I think we'll probably still be having these conversations, you know, many, many years from now. This issue will still be coming up.
Yeah. I would love to see, are the nominations in this particular world, the Oscars, reflect society. I don't know if it ever will, you know, the mixture of society that we have. But the one thing I always tell people are starting to get this, I think, as ratings in America start to dip in all these award shows, that these award shows are just that. They're just stupid opinions by not that many people. You know, you probably have a better accuracy on what people like by just watching the People's Choice Awards, to be honest with you, because these are just, they just are what they are. So they don't mean much. And I don't honestly think they mean as much in the box office or in commerce as they used to.
No, but
I just don't think they
mean a lot to the actors and what they can get on the next movie. So, I mean, I think that's what ultimately this is really about, and probably the most damaging part of this, because it's just this vicious cycle. And so, if the African American actors aren't rewarded, then they aren't up for the parts, and the movies don't get made, and then the awards don't happen. And this spirals. So it's not completely ridiculous from the economic and business end point of view. I mean, it's completely ridiculous in terms of gauging, as you said, the merit on the surface of any of these movies.
Right.
It's just silly to put some of these movies up next to each other, because they're both, you know, the Revenant and The Big Short are brilliant in their own ways, and comparing them is just folly. But, you know,
right, of course. And just as an aside, and it doesn't have anything to do with the lack of these nominations, which is really sad, the winner of Best Director, again, is probably going to be a foreign-born person. It is interesting how that happened to be happening during all of this. And it's not coming out right now, but with The Revenant, we're going to see a director who is basically starting to really make inroads into Hollywood, both in the box office and in critically, is not American. So,
how did he make these two movies? How did these two movies, how did Birdman and The Revenant come out back to back 1 year apart?
I don't know. It's amazing though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now Chris Rock, it's so interesting, of course, because here's Chris Rock, back at the helm. And people said, well, is he going to boycott? And I think most people did not hold it against him for not boycotting. It's his job. He's getting paid. And everyone knows to know Chris Rock's material is to know that he was never going to pass up this opportunity. He is just going to go off on this in a number of ways. Do you think he's the right guy to handle this?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's that. One of your questions was, is this going to affect any of the ratings? Yes, it's going to improve the ratings for the Oscars, because I think there'll be a lot of commentary from the stage. Some of it probably more cogent than others. Chris Rock will, in all likelihood, be extremely cogent and right on.
It'll be curious to see about the ratings, though. If you really wanted to make the ratings higher, this was one way, controversy. The other way would have been simply to nominate Star Wars for everything. You nominated Star Wars for acting and writing and picture, people would have tuned in. But that didn't happen. So that's how you make the ratings, I think, is to get the movies people are really interested in and put them in. Straight Outta Compton getting nominated for Best Picture, which I have to admit, that's the one that surprised me more than the acting pictures, acting nominations. I was sure that this would be a film that I think in 5 years, this is going to be the film that a lot of people are talking about.
I agree.
But it'll be interesting. I definitely will be tuning in and Chris Rock, whereas I would be much less interested, even though I like Chris Rock. I'm much more interested now to hear what he's going to say.
Yep.
Now, you and I, of course, are huge Netflix fans, just more, not just in terms of their content, their original content, but in terms of the way they do business. We think that they're fascinating, and we think that they have completely changed the game, and they have changed the game and the way things are going. So it's fascinating to know that NBC is trying to do something that we have been curious about for a few years now, which is how many people are actually watching the original content. And what's so fascinating about these numbers, Tom, is to me, that if I was NBC, I wouldn't want people to know these numbers, because these numbers are better than a lot of NBC numbers. Well, and considering they don't even care what the numbers are, and I think they really don't care what the numbers are in Netflix, they're really pulling in people.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're looking at and you know, these are not without some question and controversy, but they're reporting that 4.8 million 18 to 49 adults watching Jessica Jones, Master of None 3.9 million 18 to 49, Narcos 3.2 million 18 to 49. The problem is it's apparently impossible for them to actually figure out it's the viewers are 18 to 49, but maybe not if they've actually done this through some pretty elaborate surveying. So I'm not sure who to believe in terms of the accuracy of these, but at any rate, if they're in the ballpark, they're better than a lot of shows that the networks are touting, right?
Tom, if NBC had those numbers for three shows, they would be calling those shows hits.
Right.
They'd be begging people to watch those shows, because they would be saying, oh my gosh, we're on to something. And Netflix, and Netflix's response, by the way, was, first of all, the numbers are inaccurate. Second of all, we don't care. Third of all, we've had shows that we made that we knew 2 million people were going to watch. And we've had shows that have actually gotten 30 million people. Whether or not that's true, I actually think it's probably not that far from true. And all I thought was NBC should keep its mouth shut. Because
I know. If we're looking at Master of None getting 4 million viewers, What is House of Cards getting?
Right. And so these shows that are not on networks, these Orange is the New Black, these shows that have real following, are proof that this is working. And I just think that NBC is basically saying, look how they're doing great, and we're in real trouble. And I just don't know why they would put that out there. Do you think, by the way, that the ratings for these shows will ever become more of a, as streaming becomes the norm, will those numbers become more important? Or will it simply always be a private club where I don't have to do it because I'm not out there begging a soap company to put a commercial in the middle of my thing?
Yeah, I can't imagine why Netflix would ever want these to be public or ever have them out there where they would try to use them or what they would try to use them for. I mean, it could only hurt Netflix.
I guess the one way you could do it is you could say, last week, show X, the new show we have, was streamed by 48 million people. If you did that, of course, a lot of people want to join in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that would be the one time you might be interested in doing it. It'd be like, guess how many people are watching this show? You didn't see it. You should be watching it.
Well, and maybe they do this. I mean, the one use that it could have is to lure any sort of quality product away from other venues. If you knew that you could go to Netflix and get 60 million viewers, you would do it, right?
Right. Absolutely. Hey, now, speaking of streaming and who's streaming what, there's this concept of CBS and Time Warner having the CW have its own streaming separate, not part of Netflix, not part of anything. What do you think of this? Do you think it's a successful model that other people – I mean a model that will be successful that eventually we'll be seeing more and more of this?
Yes. I mean, I think it's inevitable that that there will be, you know, it will be universal streaming and it will be a la carte. I don't know how soon that'll happen. And I know there's lots of business considerations that'll have to be figured out before that happens. But I don't see how we can put the genie back in the bottle.
No, I don't either. You know, you have the conglomerates, you have the Hulu Plus, you have Netflix, which has a little bit of everything with a lot of original content. But eventually... I keep wondering if eventually Netflix will do a split where it's basically Netflix original content and Netflix movies, or if they'll just get out of streaming the old movie business. Could that happen?
Well, I mean, I think we looked to HBO for a model about how that's worked. They've never gotten out of the, you know, crappy second tier movie business. I don't know who watches those movies. I guess some people must.
Me, because I never get to the theater.
Well, but you're not watching the. I mean, you're not. They're not putting the first tier movies on HBO, are they? Or maybe they are.
Not really. Yeah. No, they usually get one a month.
Yeah. Right. Right. So fair enough. I mean, maybe that's all the more reason. But you know, I think. What may be more likely is that Netflix is somehow able to get the 6 month deal, you know, get the movies out of the theaters in 6 months. So there is more first tier content. That would be something to keep an eye on. That would make them almost unstoppable.
Wow. It's really fascinating to me. I love all these things, and I'm still an odd fan of Redbox. I'm just going to keep saying that.
Well, no, it serves its purpose.
It's a place for Redbox.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I don't think we should take anything away from any of these tools that still do their jobs. I mean, the sad fact is the networks are no longer doing their job. And right. They have a job to do because there's lots of people that don't have – lots of people in America, especially, you know, I don't know if it's especially middle America, but of a certain class – that don't have resources to get the premium cable, so they still have a job to do. They're just not doing it, or maybe they're doing it well, and the market is just shrinking.
Now, speaking of all that kind of combined into one, summing up everything we've talked about today, Norman Lear, who is probably one of the five most important people in the growth of television, has made a deal with Netflix for an all Latino remake of one of my favorite shows as a kid, One Day at a Time. Netflix is going to do 13 episodes, and I think they're going to be Cuban-American, I believe. And what do you think about this? I think it's fascinating, and again, I'm wondering why NBC didn't already do this.
Maybe they passed on it, you know?
You know what? Of course they did.
Yeah. It's brilliant. Now, what I couldn't figure out, maybe you know this, is it in Spanish?
I don't think so. Yeah, everything I read about it doesn't think it's not in Spanish. But again, I think this is the bridge, and I've been saying this to you, and everyone can go back and listen in archives, but I've been saying this for a few years, which is you're going to start seeing more shows with Latino characters who speak English, and then what I think you'll start to see is shows that are bilingual, where the people sometimes speak Spanish and sometimes speak English, and then at some point, a major... English-speaking star will star in a full Spanish-language show on network television. And I can't actually believe it hasn't happened yet. Why would you not? What do you have to lose? I'm serious. What do you have to lose?
Well, if you're a network, you said network, so I assume you
mean... Yes, broadcast network. Yeah. I mean, one of the big four.
If they're smart enough to do it, yes. I mean, that would be... You have nothing to lose and only to gain. I wouldn't be surprised if we see... If the One Day at a Time reboot isn't bilingual, but we'll see. And the reason I speculate here, because the Schneider role, right? The it was classically played
the
by
super
by yeah. fantastic Pat Harrington, but you know, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. Is in this version a Caucasian, and so there would be reason for them to speak English in the show, but there would also be lots of occasion for them to speak only Spanish. So,
I'm definitely watching the show just to see what the new theme song is. I want to watch the show, but I really want to see it. And I'm the person watching. I'm watching Telenovela and I'm watching the Superstore. I am interested in these shows where a network, a broadcast network, is finally figuring this out. Because if you get 4 or 5 million viewers to watch a Spanish language show, by the way, on NBC, and then just another couple million people who are willing to watch it with subtitles, who don't speak Spanish, you have a hit. You absolutely. Have a hit show. So I don't get that. But speaking of hits, just to close up, by next weekend, the new Star Wars will hit $900 million domestically, not counting for adjusted inflation. That is the number one box office of all time. But you know what, Tom? It's not going to get to number one worldwide. It may get to number two, but it's not going to get to number one. Did that surprise you that it's not going to pass Avatar, whose numbers, by the way, are, you know, again, adjusted for inflation would be even higher. It's not even going to get close to Avatar.
I guess it does surprise me. I don't know. I mean, I thinking back to Avatar, it's hard to believe that it had all that heat, but it certainly did.
Yeah, I'm already waiting to see how the next Avatar can possibly be anything other than a failure. But because I have to think, this many years now, people realize that no one cares about Avatar anymore.
No.
The fact that James Cameron's been working 8 years on this thing.
And it was not a great movie to begin with. I mean, it was gorgeous and it broke ground technologically, but it was not a great movie.
No, unless he's working on the technology where the actors actually touch you, I don't know. I just don't know how anyone's going to be interested. But congratulations to Star Wars, a film that most everyone has enjoyed. So I'm glad to see it still doing well. So we're going to be watching Oscar Buzz coming up. It's coming quicker than you know. Here it comes around the corner, and we can see some of the other awards shows and those kind of things to see where awards are going. We'll be checking those things out and everything else in the world of entertainment for your enjoyment. So for Tom, I'm Jeff. Have a great day.